hard copy. We raise it up again and make a confession. This is my Bible, the Word of God. I believe it, and I submit myself to the authority of this Word. As I meditate on this Word, I receive light, and darkness disappears. I receive understanding, and I'm guided through the path of life. In the name of Jesus, I receive wisdom from this Word. My life is preserved from this power of this Word. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. I welcome you to church this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank God for today. I want to greet the Married Only Fellowship on this celebration, this conference, which is going to be, we started since Thursday and will be concluding today. It's been a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord, and I congratulate all of you. I congratulate the leadership. It's a great work. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord renew His grace upon your life. In Jesus' name. I want to also acknowledge the people who came to lead in one way or the other today, starting from the grandma who came, Mrs. Ayanda. Wonderful. I think she'll be coming more often here. She'll be coming more often here. It was wonderful today. Hallelujah. Wow. I mean, you come and take the microphone now. Can you come now? Hallelujah. Well, we have grandmas, we have young mans, and every one of us. Praise the Lord. Everybody that took part in one thing or the other here this morning, I greet you. Greater grace upon your lives. In Jesus' name, we celebrate all of you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you want to clap, please, can you clap? Amen. Thank you for clapping. Can you help me turn to your neighbor and say, I celebrate you this morning? Okay, can we put it this way? I celebrate the grace of God upon your life. I think that's better. Amen. Because we are just what we are by His grace. Hallelujah. So I'm here today because I'm alive today only because of His grace. He kept me. My God kept me.
Lord kept me.
I know He's kept me.
His mercy kept me.
So I won't let go.
So I won't let go.
One more time, everybody, if you know God kept you. Surround me today because God kept me. I'm alive today only because of His grace. He kept me. My God kept me.
Lord kept me.
His mercy kept me.
His mercy kept me.
So I won't let go.
So I won't let go.
Amen. Hallelujah. Every meeting is unique before God. No meeting is just usual. If you understand the dynamics of God, you will know that He has a message for every moment. That's why the Bible says, let everyone that has ear hear what the Spirit is saying, not what the Spirit said. Tendency for us as human beings is for us to just believe that, Shiva, I did it yesterday, I did it last week, I'm going to come up again and do it again the same way. But God doesn't work that way. He comes to us new. He has a will for every moment. He has a will for every time we gather together. I was thinking in my heart, normally, oh, this married only program, let me speak on marriage. Let me speak on the family as a whole. But the Lord, I was struggling in my heart. This is normal. But the Lord gave me a word that looks funny. Appropriate, really appropriate. But when we look at it, oh, this is not supposed, this is not supposed to be for a meeting like this. As at 4 a.m. this morning, I started getting clarity. I said, no, I have to go. I have to submit. I have to do what you want me to do. And I kept on looking at the scripture, finding out, getting my notes together, even a few minutes before I came into the service this morning. So I'm going to speak on what is not necessarily about marriage, that's also related. I'm going to relate it as much as possible. I'm going to speak on something about discipleship, but that's not the topic yet. And the topic is how to know a Christian spouse. How to know a Christian spouse. How to know a Christian spouse. How to know a Christian husband. How to know a Christian wife. How to know a Christian mother. How to know a Christian father. I will rush through my points if I'm able to go through all, but if not, I'll stop at whatever the Lord wants me to. Number one, he does not practice sin. He does not practice sin or sinning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. We can even take it from verse 6 to 10. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him. Know what? Little children, let no one do what? Can I hear you? Let no one do what? He who, let's go ahead, please. Let's be more lively. Let's go. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Verse 8. He who sins is of what? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Can you have that verse 9 in different translations for me? Those who have been born into God's family do not what? Make a practice of sinning. Does not make a practice of sinning. He can stumble but he does not stay there. He does not make it a lifestyle of sinning. How do you know a Christian spouse? He does not practice sinning. I said it some times ago. An engineer practices engineering. A teacher practices what? Teaching. A farmer practices what? A housewife practices what? Housewifing. When you sin, the scripture says, it is not just about sinning, it is about practicing sin. Give me another translation. The good news, those who are children of God, do what? Do not continue to sin. For God's nature is in them. A Christian spouse, a Christian wife is not known by church attendance. A Christian husband is not known by the activities in the church. A Christian spouse is known by the fact that he does not continue to sin. He does not practice sinning. Makes a mistake and fairly does sin, but rises up, refuses to, and is not comfortable. How do you know a Christian spouse? He does not make sin a lifestyle. Does not make sin a habit. Habitual. Practice. Habitual. Continuous. He does not do it. When you see a Christian spouse, someone who says, I am a husband and I'm a wife, and you see, doesn't have any sensitivity about sin, just continue. It doesn't matter what you are saying. Forget about it. He keeps on doing what he's doing. Question that Christianity. Question it. He does not continue to sin. Read, let's take another scripture. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If, let's go. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is what? So a child of God may be tempted by sin, but is not dominated by sin. A child of God may be tempted by sin, but is never dominated by sin. To walk in sin or to practice sin is to walk out of sonship. Is to walk away from sonship. To practice sin or to walk in sin is to walk away from sonship. When sin becomes your habit, it doesn't move you. You hear it, you just throw it aside. And you go ahead doing what you're doing, then question your Christianity. You come to church regularly, you hear it, and you go back and do it. It doesn't move you. Question your Christianity. That's the scripture. Number two. He or she brings forth the fruits of repentance. Matthew 3, verse 8. Matthew 3, verse 8. Therefore, everybody, let's go. Therefore, give me another translation. Bring forth fruit that what? Is consistent with repentance. You said you have repented? Let's see the fruit. Matthew 7:16. By their fruit we shall know. A fruit, a tree is known by its fruit. No argument. A man can argue, you can argue, you can argue, but the fruit, a tree is known. When you see a mango fruit, you know it's from mango tree. A tree is known by its fruit. Bring forth fruit. Prove by the way you live that you have repented. You can't continue to go to church. You can't continue to be involved in activities, and the fruit you are bringing is becomes inconsistent with your profession, with what you are saying out of your mouth. The fruits become inconsistent. They do not agree with what you say with your mouth. So bring forth fruit. John the Baptist challenged them. He said, told the Jews, he said, stop all this nonsense you're doing. God is more interested. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, that you have changed indeed in your places of work, in your home, in your neighborhood. Let people see that there has been a change. Great change since I'm born again. Great change since I'm born again. The so great change since I'm born again. That's a great change since I'm born again. One more time, great change. Great change since I'm born. Great change, great change since I'm born again. Oh, great change since I'm born again. That's a great change since I'm born again. Things I used to do, I do them no more. The place I used to go, I go them no more. The things I used to drink, I drink them no more. That's a great change since I'm born again. The dress I used to wear, I wear them no more. The friends I used to keep, I keep them no more. The movies I used to watch, I watch them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. Great change, great change, great change, great change, great change since I'm born again. Great change since I'm born again. That's a great change
since I'm born again.
Bring forth fruit of repentance. The Bible tells us about fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Galatians 5:22. Yeah. The New King James Version, right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's stop here. The fruit you got to show forth. Show forth the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of long-suffering, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of goodness, the fruit of faithfulness, the fruit of gentleness, the fruit of self-control. Show forth. Not everything you see, you must see. Just like you have heard this morning, not everybody you must answer. Not everything you see, you must drink. Not every place you must go. A changed heart produces a changed life. And that's the true mark of repentance. A changed life, a changed heart produces a changed life. If your heart has really changed, your life will change. If indeed that your heart has changed, then your life will change and people will see the life. And that's the true mark of repentance. Repentance without fruit is emotion without transformation. Repentance without fruit is mere emotion without transformation. Repentance without fruit is mere emotion without transformation. True sonship is not claimed by words. True sonship is not claimed by word, but it is confirmed by fruits. It is confirmed. You shall know the identity mark. The identity mark. You shall know. When you see the fruit, you know. No argument. It is not mere words. It is not mere declaration of words. It is confirmed by the fruit you bear. The fruit that you bear confirmed your sonship, that you are a child. And you know when I'm talking about sonship, I'm not talking about male alone. It's not gender bias. Number three. Change values. And pursuits. Changed values. And pursuits. What you value begin to change. Those things you carry, and big, so big, begin to be like anything. Nothing. Change value, and your pursuit begin to change. Set, Colossians 3:1, set your mind on the things which are above. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. Your values will change. What you pursue in life we change. Number four. That spouse hears and follows the voice of God, the voice of Christ. He hears and follows the voice. Jesus himself said it. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Can we read it together? You need to hear. The Bible says the voice of the hireling you will not hear. One way you know, that's why the scripture says, in the scripture we read, Romans chapter 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You don't argue against God's word. When God is speaking, you know that God is speaking. You don't argue against it. When he's speaking, you know God is speaking. That's one of the ways you know. Those of you who were in the retreat yesterday, you had when Reverend Odabiri was speaking. As a child of God, you hear his voice. God can speak to you in clear way, clear voice. There are different ways God can speak. You can hear him audibly. You can hear him as a witness in your spirit, for the spirit bears witness. We are his children. You can have a witness inside of you. But most often, you hear him through his word. He speaks to us through his word. When you begin to argue against the word of God, something is wrong somewhere. He speaks to you through his word. You know when he's speaking, this is the word of God for me. I've always said, God has no respect for any man, you know, but he has respect for a group of people. And those who are the people who tremble at his word. Psalm 66 verse 2. He speaks to you through his word. That's one of the ways you know a child of God. You a son, you will hear him. My sheep will hear my voice. The voice of the hireling they will not hear. They will hear me. When I'm speaking, they will know I'm speaking. It's a proof of sonship. Next, number five, right? Is that number five? This spouse loves God's presence. He loves God's presence. He loves God and he loves God's presence. Let me put that away. He loves God. And he loves God's presence. Or whatever she or he. If you are writing as a woman, write your name. Don't write he there, write she. If you are writing as a man, you can write he. This spouse loves God's presence. That's one of the ways to know. Look, the scripture says, Romans chapter 8 verse 28. For all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. He loves God. He truly loves God. And he loves his presence. You know, obedience proves your loyalty to God. But love proves your sonship. Obedience proves your loyalty to God, but love proves your sonship. A slave serves out of duty, but a son loves out of relationship. A slave serves out of duty, but a son loves out of relationship. You don't command a son to love his father or to love his mother. It is just something that comes as an instinct. A baby begins to love his mom. You don't force, you don't command, baby, you gotta love me. No. The baby just instinct. To love is not a command to a son, but it's an instinct. The greatest sign that you belong to God is not your knowledge of him, but your love for him. The greatest sign that you belong to God is not your knowledge of him, but your love for him. A proof that you belong to God is your love for him. The love of God is the root of obedience. It is the root of obedience. It is the root of sacrifice. It is the root of service. It is the root of devotion. It is the root of giving. Oh my God, are you with me, church? When you love God, it will show in your service. It will show in your devotion. It will show even in your obedience. It will show in your giving. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave. The Bible says, Solomon loved the Lord and he gave 1,000 burnt offering. Paul said, what can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? I'm persuaded that not even death, not famine, not sword, not peril, not famine, nothing. I've loved him so much to the extent I'm ready to die for him. One of the ways you prove his son is that his son loves. He just loves. He loves God and he just wants to be in his presence. You don't force his son to come to the presence of his father or his mother. There are children that have so much attachment to their parents, to the extent that the parent can't even leave them. It's become almost like a trouble to leave them. Did you force that child to do it? Did you command that child to do it? No. I'm sure some of your parents know this. Some mothers know this. Especially mothers. I know sometimes you have it also with fathers. That the child just so attached to you. Did you command the child to do that? No. Just want to be with you. Wherever you are going, even when you are going to the restroom, you are rushing, you are pressed. The child wants to rush with you into the restroom. A proof that you are a son is that you love God and you want to just be where he is. You just want to follow him everywhere. You want to be where he is. That's why David said, I was glad when they said, what? Let's go to the house of the Lord. I was so excited. When Saul was pursuing him and he didn't have time to go into the temple, he was crying. He said, the boss of the earth, they have a place to stay that I don't have anywhere. That was when he wrote Psalm 84. A proof. It's just instinct. You love God. When you discover that you don't love him, although you may say you love him, we're going to look at it. You may say you love him, but we'll see it. A proof that you love him is that there's a natural instinct. You just want to be in his presence. Just love him. You want to just be with him. You want to please him. You don't want to hurt him. If you love somebody, you don't want to hurt the person, you know. You love somebody, you don't just want to make the person unhappy. You don't want to make the person sad. I just want to be
in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table. Surrounded by your glory,
in your presence, that's where I always,
that's where I always want to be. I just want to be, I just want to be.
Next point, that's number what now? A Christian spouse walks in love. Christian spouse walks in love. He loves the people. He loves the brethren. He loves everybody. He's not just about loving God. He loves everybody. He loves the believers. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you do what? If you love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. 1 John 4, 7 to 8. Beloved, let us what? Come on, let's come alive. Want to go? For love is of God. And everyone who loves and knows, he who does not love, does not what? You just love. You love not only God, you love people. You love the brethren. A proof, when you live in hatred, you hear someone, I hate him, I hate her. Then I can tell you that your Christianity is questionable. You live in hatred, you may not even say it out of your mouth, but your action proves it. When it gets to a point in which You can't even forgive. You can't forgive. I've always asked, if God will mark iniquities, who will do what? Who will stand? Psalm 130 verse 3 to 4 said, who will stand? What has your spouse done for you that you cannot forgive him? What has your spouse, whether your husband or wife, that you cannot forgive her? If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible lists the characteristics of that love. But we're not going to go to that. He walks in love. She walks in love. A proof that you are a child of God, you are a Christian spouse, is that you walk in love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Who does 1 John chapter? Let's take, first of all, I want to take the first one. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 20 first. 4, 16 to 20. 16, just mention 16 and then move to verse 20. And we have known and believe that what? The love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Go to verse 20. If someone says, I what? And his is brother. He is what? Take it again. Let's start again. Let's say it, read it louder. One, two, go. How can you love the God whom you have not seen? A proof. Say, he who says, hey, I love God, or I even know God. That's why the earlier part, the one we read earlier on, talked about it. I know God, and I walk in hatred. He said, the truth is that you are a what? You are a liar. How can you say you love God? How can you say you know God? If God is love, his children should walk in what? Into being in line shaking you. How can you say God is love and you say I'm a son of God? And the Bible says God is love and you are walking in hatred. Love is not easily provoked. Let's just go through, rush through. Let me rush through that 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Just read through. Let's rush through from verse 1. Let's rush through from verse 1 very fast. Let's go. Everybody louder. One, two, go. Do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love? I have become what? Sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge? And do I have of all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love? I am what? Go ahead, louder. Can we do it more lively? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body bone, but I have not love. In other words, even if I give, and I don't have love, I'm deceiving myself. Giving does not prove, really. Giving is not a proof. When you love, you give. It is not giving that shows that you love. When you love, you give. But your giving does not prove that you love. Somebody may give, may not give out of love. Are you with me, church? You may give, but may not give out of love. But you cannot love without giving. Did you get it? You can't love without giving. But you can give, and you are not giving out of love. And though I give my body to be born, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Let's go quickly, rush through. Love suffers what? Long. Louder. Love does not envy. Love does not... No envy. You can see even husband and wife, they envy themselves. You envy the progress of your spouse because your spouse is progressing. Jealousy, even among spouse, that's terrible. That's why sometimes a husband does not want the wife to progress. He wants to stop the wife because he feels that when the wife is this big, he has money or deal like this, and feels that the wife, evil tradition, the wife will sit upon his neck. Where did you read that one? Go and find out from Deborah. Deborah was a judge, the wife of what? People didn't even know her husband and such. The man became popular because of his wife. Love does not envy. Let's go. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't show off. It's not puffed up. Let's go. Love does not behave itself rudely. Rude. Why are you so rude? So rude? That's not love. So rude. You can walk out on anybody. You can say anything to anybody. It doesn't matter. Go to hell. That's rude. That's not love. You don't walk in rudeness. I say, look, I can talk. I can face anybody. No, that's not love. If you don't love, you are not of God. You must consider your brother, consider your sister. How does my action or my feeling or what I do, my words, what effect did this word have on this, my brother, my sister? Does not behave itself rudely. Does not seek his own. Selfish. Just me to gather to myself. That's not love. Love is not selfish. Love is not provoked. Not easily provoked. Does not think evil of the other person. Next one, quickly. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. You don't rejoice in the failure of another person. You don't rejoice in the fall. But rejoices in what? In the truth. Let's go. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Let's stop there. One of the ways to prove that you are a child of God, that you are a Christian spouse, is that you love. You love the Bible. The Bible says, he said, husband, love your wives. But I hope you know that is not all. Even in the book of Colossians, also Paul was writing to Titus again. He said that the young women should know how to love their husband. You know, some people just restrict it and say, well, the role of the husband is to love their wife. So the wife is to submit. So the wife doesn't need to love his wife. Love her husband. It's not true. Both of you should love one another. Husband, love your wife. Wife, love your husband. The same thing, he said, wife should submit themselves to their husband. But what about the husband? He said, let there be mutual submission. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit yourself to one another. There should be mutual submission. This is not autocracy. This is not slavery. Your wife should not be a slave. You call him back, Sonny. Whatever I say, it must go. No. That's not love. That's oppression. That's not oppression. That's oppression. That's slavery. Let your wife have a say. Let that woman be able to also express her mind. Listen to her. And it could be the other way. And some women can be Margaret Thatchers of their home. And they have subjected their husband so much to the husband that the husband can't even talk. That's not love. One of the ways to prove love, prove that you are a child of God, you must express love. That's not the topic I'm treating this morning. I'm speaking about how to know a Christian spouse. But that topic, that point is rich. We need to consider it some other time. Let's move ahead. How many have I mentioned now? Before I leave that point, just put these ones down if you can, very fast. You can't be God's children and hate his other children. You can't be God's children and hate his other children. True sonship is not proved in this sanctuary. True sonship is not proved in the sanctuary. but it is proved by the way you treat others. True sonship is not proved in the church, but it is proved by the way you treat others. Okay, let me move on quickly. Next point is, a Christian spouse yields to correction. A Christian spouse, one of the characteristics of a Christian, one of the characteristics of a son, a daughter, is that he embraces correction. He doesn't reject correction. Look at what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11, quickly. Oh my God, shall we go Hebrews 12, 5 to 11? We can rush through. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you. As to who? Can we do it louder? My son, not be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, For whom the Lord loves, he chastises, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Verse 8. Everybody, let's take verse 8 together. Let's go. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are what? And not what? Prove it. Chicken, huh? If you don't receive correction, you are not a son. If God cannot correct you through his word, God cannot correct you, you cannot be corrected, your spouse cannot correct you, there is a problem somewhere. You can't correct me, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. I know you can't talk to me. You are not a son. One of the ways to prove that you are a child of God is that you embrace correction. The word of God can come itself to correct you. You receive, the Bible says, the word of God is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God is good for correction. The word of God comes to correct us. When we hear the word of God, we don't resist the word of God. We don't reject the word of God. That same scripture is repeated in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. That we don't need to go through that now. Correction does not condemn us. Correction does not condemn us, but it confirms our sonship. Correction does not condemn us, but confirms our sonship. A rebellious heart receives correction, but a son receives it. A rebellious heart, an illegitimate child, resists correction. But a true son does what? Receives correction. One resists it. One does what? Receives it. One does what? Resists. The other what? An illegitimate child, son or daughter, spouse, does what? Resists. But a true son, daughter, does what? The proof of your sonship is not how you celebrate his blessing, but how you respond to his discipline. Great testimony, wonderful. Great testimony, wonderful. Every day we have wonderful testimony in this congregation. What God is doing, wonderful. We celebrate the greatness and the goodness of God. But it is not only in responding to God's blessing, but it's in responding to his discipline. Respond to his discipline. He corrects us not to crush us, but he corrects us to confirm his sonship upon us. He doesn't correct us to crush us, but he corrects us to confirm his sonship. Next point. How many have I mentioned? Now quickly. He loves obedience. He loves obedience. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. I've told you earlier, obedience proves your loyalty. He loves obedience. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. Now, by this we know that we know him. If we keep his what? Everybody, can I hear you read it? Verse 4. He who says, I know him. Some people are not reading. Please help. Sons and daughters of God in this house, shout hallelujah. Please, can you help me ask your neighbor and say, are you a son? Whichever is it, whether it's a girl, a lady or female, apply it. Are you a daughter? Okay, put it this way. Are you a legitimate son? Or daughter, whichever. He who says, let's read it now. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandment is what? And the truth is not. You see, God keep on telling. You know, there are many liars. Who? There are many liars. That's what God keeps on telling us. You've heard of liar, 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 liar. We used to have one man called, well, let me not call this, one person in government, they call him liar. I'm not saying more than that. Praise the Lord. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment, is a liar. You know him, but you don't keep his commandment, you are a liar. You don't obey him, you are a liar. Let me move on to the next time, one quickly. He loves God's word. He loves God's word. 1 Peter 2, 2. He loves God's word. A newborn, as newborn babies do what? Desire the spiritual milk of the world that you may grow thereby. John chapter 8, verse 47. Quickly. John 8, 47. Let's go. Let's read this one quickly. Let's go. He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are what? Shikena. Some people are not interested in God's word. You know, it's just a sign, one of the signs that this is not a son. Everybody listen to me. Everybody, please ask your neighbor, are you still awake? Touch your neighbor, touch your neighbor, touch your neighbor, touch somebody beside you. Are you still awake? When you are not interested in God's word, it's a sign, it's a pointer to something. When a baby does not interested in taking breast milk, a newborn baby, there's a problem. Am I right? There's a problem. Because a baby will be longing, crying, just want to. In fact, if you don't quickly put the thing like this, the baby will. I keep on asking, I say, who taught a baby to be angry at that early age? By the time you finally put it in his mouth, he decides to bite you. Who taught the baby to be angry to that extent? Because sin is in every human being, in nature. Now, where we're going, if you don't love God's word, it shows just like a baby who does not just want breast milk. There's something happening to that baby. You need to quickly see the doctor. It's not normal. You can't claim to love the Father and you hate his word. You can't claim to love the Father and you ignore his word. No appetite of God's word then question your adoption as a child of God. The Bible is not just a book, it's a lifeline up to the believers, of the believers. You love God's word, that's one of the ways to know a true spouse. He wakes up, he wants to share the word of God with his family. Are you with me? He wakes up, he wants to share his word with, he's passionate about sharing his word. Let's read the Bible. Share the word of God with his wife. Share the word of God, even the wife, share the word of God together with the children. He wants to share the word of God, read the Bible together. He loves God's word. He wants them to be in church, to come and hear God's word. He loves God's word. He wants to hear it. He's not the one that we take after Sunday. The next time to read the Bible is next week Sunday. And you are a son? Question your sonship, sir. After Sunday, whether you are a husband or you are a wife, you are a little boy, you say you are born again, and you don't love God's word, something is wrong. Said, as newborn babes, desire the spiritual milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Love God's word. When you don't love God's word, it shows there's a problem. You don't just read the Bible to just read it alone. You know it's lifeline. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes from his father's mouth. And I'm going to take, what is the next point now? What's my next point? What's the last point? 9. The last point is 9. Now I'm going to take last, now 10. He brings his or her family to the Lord. He or she brings his or her family to the Lord. He raises them up in the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me. Worthless you going to heaven and you leave your children to go to hell. A person who has tasted God, in fact, you want everybody to know God, especially from your family. I tasted God and I made up my mind my family must know God. My children must know God. My experience before I got to know the Lord, I don't want any of my children to experience that. I prayed. That's why I longed. All my children, our two children, they play instruments. Because I never had opportunity of learning instrument when I was young. My father was an organist. My father had one day never took me and said, come, sit down with me while I'm playing the organ. He was playing organ well in church, big organ, but he never took me one day. And I made up my mind, all my children must know it. As early as 5, 6 years old, our son was playing keyboard in the church. Those of you can still remember at the youth chapel. What I know, see, you can't be a child of God and you have tasted Christ and you will not want your children to know Christ. He said concerning Abraham, he said, I know Abraham will teach what? His children, Genesis 18:19. That's why I kept on wondering. Some people will come to church and leave their children at home to be doing lesson. lesson. You are not even interested in spiritual matter for your children. It's academics. Academics will not take them far in life. That's why you have educated rascals in our generation today. You not take them far. You buy everything for them, everything except the Bible. You do everything. You take them on holidays, take them everywhere. But you never told them one day, as a family, let's fast together and pray and read the word. It never happened. Everything but God. If you know the Lord, you will want your family to know the Lord. If you have truly experienced God, you have tasted Him, your prayer will be that all my members of my family should know Him. The Bible talks about Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. 3 verse 15 and then 1 5. And that from where? Childhood. You have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. From the time you were young. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois. And now in you, and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's also in you. Look at the transfer from generation to generation. If you know you are a child of God, forget about it. I keep saying it, and I repeat it here this morning. I keep saying it doesn't matter whether your spouse is a believer or not, whether your spouse knows the Lord or not. For the fact that you know the Lord, either as a wife or as a husband, your children must not go haywire. Because the father of Timothy was not a Christian. You have a responsibility to bring up those children in the way of the Lord, to make them to know the Lord. If that doesn't happen, it means you don't know God. You can't go to heaven and your children will go to hell. Never. A proof of a Christian spouse. I've gone through 10 points to prove that you're a Christian spouse. Ask yourself. And you know this can apply to you as young people, as students, as young boys who are not married. And you know you can begin to practice this. And that will determine, help you to make a choice who you are going to marry in the future. Who you are going to marry in the future. Learn to know it. Some of our parents got married when they were not Christian. They were not born again. And they don't wish any of their children would do that. For you that you have known the opportunity of hearing this word today, don't take that decision in your life to go out and marry out of the faith. Let me go through the 5-10 points. Number one point. Quickly. You must not practice sin. A Christian spouse, don't practice sin. Number two. It shows forth the fruit of repentance. Number three. Pardon? Change values. Change values and pursuits. Pursuits, yes. Next. Hears the voice of God. Love God and His presence. He loves God and His presence. Next. Pardon? He walks in love. He walks in love. He accepts correction, receives correction. Next one. He loves obedience. Next one. He loves God's word. Next one. Brings his family to the Lord. Now the question is that I want to pose this question to all of us as families, as Christian husband and Christian wife. Let me start from the last one. What are you doing about your family? Your children. What are you doing about them? Are you planning to go to heaven? I remember where that man, that journalist in those days, in NTA, in those days when NTA, we used to use NTA, when he wants to read by 9 o'clock, he said, "Do you know where your child is?" How many of you can still remember? He said, "Do you know where your child is?" What's the name of that man? Frank Olize. "Do you know where your child is?" Friends, I know it takes God to save a person, but you have a part to play. It takes God to save a person, but you have a part to play. Your life as a person must be able to challenge your children. Is your life challenging your children? Can your daughter, your son say to you, "Daddy is a Christian"? Can your daughter say to you, or your son say, "Mommy is a Christian"? And they want to follow your footsteps. Be believe me. No, that's not the one I want to sing. Omoma Jogunre. Show Nani. Oh, Yahweh, call it on see you. Pray. Our Father in heaven, I've spoken as you have sent me. I am asking that this word will not return to you empty. Raise in our midst Christian spouses. Help us to love you genuinely. Help us to reflect our Christianity. In the name of Jesus. Our Father, we want to pray. May this word not stand against any one of us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Peradventure, you are here, you are not born again. It starts from there. Are you born again? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's where it starts from. It's not in coming to church. Are you born again? Can you remember the day you gave your life to Christ? Can I pray with you? If you are there, you are not, you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to be born again, please, can I pray with you? Wherever you are, please just lift up your right hand. If you are there, you are saying, "Jesus, I'm giving my heart to you this morning." Your right hand to God. Okay, I pray one more time. My Father, my God. One thing I desire, and my prayer, my earnest prayer, is that every man, every woman here will be rooted in you, will be grounded in you, will be established in you. Deliver your child from vanity and cause us to be eternally valued. Cause us to focus on eternity in the name of Jesus. We pray for these young people, Lord. May they see good examples in us. May they not stumble by our lifestyle. In the name of Jesus, thank you, our faithful Father. And in Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.